From Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Bo, the purpose of tefillin. If we look in Parshat Bo, we see that two of the sections, the paragraphs that are found in the hand tefillin and in the head tefillin, are found at the end of this Parshat Bo, Exodus 13. And there we have a number of different reasons that are given for the tefillin, and I'd like to suggest some other reasons as well. It says, why should you have this sign in your hand, sign in your head? Because, Laman tiyeh Torat Hashem b'ficha, we want the words of God to be in our mouth. What does that mean? That somehow when you have these phylacteries, these tefillin on our heads and on our hands, across from our heart, near our brain, somehow this will incur, this will influence the words of Torah to be coming from your mouth. It's about trying to lead a holier life. A more obvious note is in the second paragraph where it says that there should be a sign in your hand to remember that God took us out of Egypt with a strong hand. Now, it's very nice that it says hand. I might suggest the following. What is the hand of God? Hand of God means to be able to see God in your life. With a strong hand, it means all of a sudden everyone says, wait a second, I thought we were acting autonomously here on earth. All of a sudden, I see God's hand. He's interacting in history. He's taking over. So too, when you wear the tefillin, you hope that God kind of takes over. You want to sort of experience God. Wearing the tefillin is about trying to experience God with a little bit of a taste of what it was like to experience God during the 10 plagues, where you could see God in history. The third paragraph speaks of a different theme, and that is the love of God, the Shema. Now, the Shema speaks about the oneness of God, and in the introduction to the tefillin, where we talk about a lot of these meanings of tefillin. By the way, the idea of that the words of God should be in your mouth is not mentioned in that introductory paragraph. It's very strange. It doesn't mention that. But it mentions that in the tefillin are yichudo, that the oneness of God is in the tefillin. I would suggest that the essence of the Shema is not just the oneness of God, but the essence of that paragraph in its discussion of tefillin is in the context of loving God. That you should love your God with all of your heart and all of your might and all of your soul. And these words should be on your heart, and you should teach them to your children, and you should bind them as a sign on your hand. So, how do you love God? Because you put it as a sign on your hand. You talk to the children about it all the time. It shows that you're obsessed. You love God. It's part of your obsession. If you don't buy that, look in the Song of Songs. It says, "Simeni kechotam alibecha." God, I want you to be like a seal on my heart. Kachotam alzroecha, like a seal on your arm, because the love is so strong. So here we see the idea, the meaning of tefillin is to have a loving sign on our body. We know that people who are in love, they like to let everyone know about it. They have a love locket with a picture of their loved one. They have a picture of their loved one next to their office desk. Some children or young people will, you know, write the name of their loved one on the desk or on their skin. It's part of being in love. We want it to be part of our lives in every single second. That's what the tefillin is all about. The Sefer HaChinuch is the man who usually tells us what the meaning of the mitzvot are, and he says, look, we put the tefillin specifically on parts of our body that relate to the seichel, to knowledge, wisdom, understanding. The heart, we put it next to a cross from our heart. It's on our arm, but it's a cross from our heart. That's why it has to point this way. And on our brain. And so that all of our hearts, all of our thoughts, all of our ideas should be directed toward God all day long. So it's about that. Also, the heart also is a source of desires, lusts, longings. And also, we don't want the body to get too carried away going in that direction. These are guards, he says. These are guardians against evil inclination, going too far after the material world. and going more into the spiritual realm, they're guardians, the tefillin, the tzitzis, the mezuzah, all guardians to protect us from going too far into the materialistic. And you want to suggest one other idea as well, and that if we have tefillin in our hands, then how can our hands be engaged in oshek, in oppression of the poor? There's a Hebrew expression, oshek yadeinu, the oppression of our hands. So we want to take that image of the oppression of hands, we want to do something good with our hands and with our eyes and our brains. We want to do something good as well, not something bad. The Sfasema says that the tefillin has everything in it. It has Maisa, Dibur, Machshava. It has the three realms of life, the realm of thought, the realm of speech, and the realm of action. The realm of thought is reflected in the fact that the names of God are all over they're in the parchments. They're written on, you have the name of God, Shakai, Shin, Dalad, Yud, is written on the person. And that's the realm of thought, because we have to think about the name of God. The realm of speech is clear. We want the, as we said, the tefillin encourages good speech about God. And of course, what we write, ketiva, kedibur, when you write something, some say that it's the same as saying something, so that there's an element of speech there as well. And then a maisa, you do actions, because tefillin are on your arm, which represent action, but also because you have to write the tefillin, you have to make the tefillin, you have to tie the knot. And that's the realm of action. So we want to influence all the realms of our life, which relate, he says, whatever that means, the three realms of the soul, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, naran. That's also part of what it's all about. But finally, there's another idea, which I think is very important. The Talmud says that can't wear tefillin if a person, God forbid, is in mourning, can't wear tefillin. Because the Torah said to the Yechezkel, look, you're mourning, you should or shouldn't put on that pe'er. In general, if a person is mourning, they shouldn't be wearing an adornment. You're walking around with a mink coat. Your mother just died. Your father just died. What are you walking around with a big crown on your head? Something terrible just happened to you. So the tefillin then are seen as a pe'er, as an adornment, as like a crown. And he says, Totafot, the Ketav HaKabbalah, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg from 19th century Germany, he says that totafot, one of the words for tefillin, a strange word, it could have something to do with a adornment. And it says in Isaiah, Yisrael shebecha et pa'ar, God takes great joy and pride in the Jewish people. That's why we say in the Talmud that, Gemara Brachos, that God himself wears tefillin. God is proud of us. We're proud of God. When you wear the tefillin, it's like you're saying, I am a servant of God and I'm proud of it. I want everyone to know about my love for God. And if the tefillin sometimes feel embarrassing, you know, you're at an airport, you're putting on your tefillin, so what are people thinking? You know, what's going on here? That's exactly it. Tefillin are very public, and everyone can see that you're Jewish, you're a servant of God, and we're proud of that. We want everyone to see that. Of course, it's not just to see a box, but the idea is, as it says in Deuteronomy 28, in Devarim, and as the Gemara says in Brachos 6a, the ideal is that all the nations would see that the name of God is on us. The name of God, the tefillin, has the name of God in it. It has a shin and a dalet and a yud, which spells the name of God. When people see that God is with us, they'll be amazed. And of course, this doesn't come by hocus pocus. You know, you put on a box on your head and suddenly everyone's in awe of you as a person. It has to flow from the person. The idea of the tefillin is to transform the individual. As they say to the bar mitzvah boys, they say, don't put the tefillin on your head, put the tefillin in your head. It's supposed to be sort of a welding of the two. The tefillin and you are supposed to become one. And from the spirit that's on you with the tefillin, there should be a sense of awe of the Jew, not as individual, but as a servant of God. But the question is, what if he didn't? What if he just put the tefillin on without any thought at all? So the Shulchan Aruch, number 20, in Siman Chaf Hei 25, it says, you know, you should try to have intent of all these things, but all the things we mentioned, but what if you didn't? So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, the Prima Gadim says that if you didn't have Kavanah, you know, you could still get the mitzvah. You just have to remember that you're doing it for a mitzvah. I mean, you're not putting this on to make your mother happy. You're putting it on because you're supposed to. So that would be good enough. But the Bach, Rabbi Yoel Sirkis, the commentary on the tour, on the prototype of the Shulchan Aruch, known as the tour, his commentary, 16th century Krakow, he says, no, there's a very specific purpose for tefillin, sukkah, and tzitzis. These three mitzvahs, different from all other mitzvahs, must be done according to everybody. I don't care if you're supposed to have kavana or intent when you do a mitzvah. You don't have to. It doesn't matter what you hold in general about the necessity of intent. But here, intent is important. And without it, you don't get the mitzvah. That's what he claims, that tefillin, sukkah, and tzitzis, it says in the Torah that it's for a certain purpose. There's a reason to it. And he does quote the verse of that it's so the words of God should be in your mouth. So if you don't understand the purpose, the Torah says that's the whole purpose. It says right there that's what the purpose is. The sukkah is so that you should know that we were in sukkahs in the desert. The tzitzis, so you should remember the mitzvot. It says right there. If you don't do that, then you're not fulfilling the basic requirement of what these mitzvot are all about. These are different kind of mitzvot. They're purposeful mitzvot that require intent. Of course, the Prima Gaudium says, if you didn't, you didn't. But it's important to remember that when it comes to the tefillin, so many beautiful meanings to it. It'd be a shame to just put on the tefillin and take them off. It'd be so meaningful if every day we say to ourselves, could I be a priest of God? Could I be someone carrying God with me? Could I be sort of let everyone know and let myself, first of all, know that I'm a servant of God and I'm beaming, I'm exuding a sort of an aura of the fear of God and the love of God. Could that be the experience? Wouldn't it be incredible if every day when we put on our tefillin, we take off our tefillin, we have that feeling that, wow, this is what we're all about. Even for women who are not taking of the tefillin, you're part of a nation where men wear tefillin, you're part of a nation where people are aspiring to this type of thing. It should inspire all Jews, it should inspire all people to think that there are individuals who have this aspiration. There is a Jewish people. Should be an inspiration for all of us. The idea that Laman Tia Torah Hashem Beficha, we can do it. We can subdue our base thoughts. And we can rise to a higher level and bring the words of God to our lips. Thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sfarad Beth Elmeth congregation here in Memphis, Tennessee. Join us each week for a discussion of the Parsha and the various holidays. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.